Wonderful to be gathered again in our Father's house. As we continue in our Lenten season, today we're going to be talking about the third commandment, keeping the Sabbath day holy in God's word. And so as we begin our worship service today, let us remember the day we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful night that you have given us, that we can gather in your name, Lord, gather around you, around your word, Lord, so that we can get to know you better. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts, Lord, through the work of your Holy Spirit. Help our faith to grow. Help us to trust you better. Help us to know you better, Lord, so that we can have peace in all circumstances because of what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us. And for his sake, forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Passion reading tonight comes from Luke chapter 22, verse 24 to 53. A dispute also rose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without a purse or bag or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, then sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, 'He was numbered with the transgressors.' And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." The disciples said, "See, Lord, there are two swords." "That's enough," he replied. And Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you do not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to his disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, And the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." And the message and the scripture reading for the message today, Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Please be seated. It seems like a very long time ago, my wife and I were getting ready to get married. And the pastor that was counseling us and preparing us for our wedding, he had some really good advice for us. His advice was this: your life is going to get very busy. You're going to have careers and children, and all kinds of things are going to take your time. Your job is to make sure that at least once a week, you are alone and sitting across the table from each other, where you can reconnect and talk. He said, so many people forget to do this. And after the really busy time of life raising children, there's hardly a relationship left. And so he said, this is a really important thing. And you know, we've done it, and it really has made a big difference. And it's kind of funny. It's almost as if he had some sort of a model to follow, you know? Sort of like there was another really important relationship in our life, and that the person that we're in this relationship with said, you know what? Once a week, I want you to come together with other people who follow me and just spend time with me. And of course, you know what I'm talking about. This commandment, God wants to spend this time with us. And you know, the funny thing is that the beginning of this commandment goes all the way back to creation. It actually goes to before sin, which is kind of interesting if you think about it, right? God says he created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Thus, all men should rest from their work on the Sabbath day. And that Sabbath day was that day of rest, that day that people could look forward to, that day that was not just rest from labor, but resting in God, resting in his word, resting in the worship of the God who has protected and provided for his people. The God that we work for all week, we get to spend time with in a really amazing and special way on that day. And in fact, that looking forward to that day of rest became such a big deal to the children of Israel that actually it became a prophecy for Jesus, that we were looking forward to the one who would give us rest, and that in him we would have rest. And Jesus has come. And in his coming, he has made peace between us and the Father. And we have the confidence of our faith, and we know that, and we have the confidence because of our faith in God, that we know that our God is providing for us. And in this, we have an incredible peace. I mean, remember back just a few years into the COVID years, right? When people were getting so anxious and so upset and so worried all the time. And those of us who had faith, we were concerned and we were careful, but at the same time, we weren't distraught or worried, because what's the worst that could happen is we get to go home early, right? I mean, that's the worst that can happen, and it's not too bad. So the whole idea of, you know, that we in the middle of the most stressful times can have real peace. And So yeah, after labor, after, you know, God rested after he created. And just like this, we look forward to the children of Israel are looking forward to the day when Jesus would come and bring peace. And we still look forward to that day, you know, that we have peace now already, but not that complete peace that we would like, really want, the one where all of the troubles are taken away. But we continue to labor looking forward to the day that we will truly have peace before God. And that's going to be quite the day. But in the meantime, God continues to want us to spend time with him. He wants us to be able to have a time when we can set aside all the other frustrations and cares of life, and we can come before God and spend time with him, hearing what he has to say and responding to him in prayer. You know, King David had the right of it when he said, you know, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And when he talked about God's law, God's, you know, the scriptures, and he said, I love your law. I meditate on it day and night. We've had times like that where we feel really, really positive and excited about digging into the scriptures. I know I do. But there's also days on Sunday morning when my bed feels very comfortable. And I'm tempted to neglect the gathering together because it could be nice just to stay right there in bed. And isn't it an amazing thing that we are so tempted to neglect our relationship with God, that there are even some times when we're feeling guilty and we want to avoid God. There's the times when we're just too busy to spend time with God. We have so many different reasons and excuses for not passionately seeking out God and his word. And it's interesting because we have a God who does not need us, but he loves us, who sacrificed himself so that we could have a relationship with him. And then we who are in desperate need of God are often lethargic about our relationship with him. You know, and it's not just the being here. I think there's something to be said for the quality of the time we spend with God as well. You guys remember Cain and Abel, right? I mean, Adam and Eve just get kicked out of the garden. They have a couple of kids, and then Cain brings his gifts to God, and Abel brings his fattened, the best of his crop, or the best of his cattle to God. And God loves Abel's offering, but doesn't like Cain's. And why? Because Cain did not bring his best. I often wonder if we bring our best time to God. I mean, how many times do we stay up far too late on Saturday night so that by the time we come into God's house on Sunday morning, we're exhausted and not fully ready to really, truly engage in God and his word? You know, sometimes we wait to pray right before bed and fall asleep shortly into the first sentence. And it's not that God hates it when we fall asleep praying, but sometimes I wonder if we're not saving our best energy and best time for other things rather than for him. And so to make God's day holy, to truly honor God's word and the relationship that we have with God, that God describes in his word and gives us through his word, what do we do to set this right? Well, we do exactly what we do with every other sin. The first thing we do is we own the sin. We acknowledge that it's us. We acknowledge that it's our selfishness and our desire to seek after our own things that makes us put other things before God. And then we bring the sin to the foot of the cross. And we confess. And we lay the sin there. And we receive from God the forgiveness that we need so badly. And what happens is we realize that our shortcomings, our inability to be faithful, doesn't affect God's faithfulness. He is faithful anyway. And he continues to forgive even when we don't deserve it, even though we don't deserve it. You know, we're about to come up for this Lord's Supper. And in this meal, we receive forgiveness of sins. Do you think we need it? A bit. And in this meal, we receive that forgiveness of sins. And in this meal, we also receive the strength that we need so that we can go back out and struggle against sin in our lives. Where we can spend time in the scriptures. And the funny thing is about spending time in the scriptures is that the Holy Spirit works through that Bible to change us. And he changes us and he makes us into something we weren't before. He changes us into people who are reluctantly spending time with God. And slowly he changes us into people that passionately look for opportunities to spend time with God. We really truly can, he gives us the heart of David who says, I love your law. And I meditate on it day and night. I think about it all the time. It's always in my head because this word is so amazing and so great and so wonderful. And that through this word, we really truly understand the incredible relationship that God has created for us and that we get to live out. And then he gives us the strength to do it. And so, my friends, as we head into this Lenten season, once again, our sin is laid bare by the law of God. But we have one who takes our sin away. And so, as we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us this night. Help us, Lord. As we are in your word, Lord, help us as we continue to learn from you. Send your spirit to work in our hearts and minds, opening up our hearts so that we are passionate seekers of you and of your word, desperately looking for opportunities, Lord, to spend time with you and doing it as often as we can. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's confess our faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for giving us your word. This incredible gift, Lord, of the knowledge of you, Lord, what you have done for us, how you feel about us, all the things that you have done in history, the things that you love, the things that you hate. Lord, I pray that you would help us to know you better, Lord. Help us to grow in our knowledge of you and in the faith that trusts that knowledge. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of us, Lord, as we go through the different trials and struggles of life. Be our strength. Send us, Lord, people who can minister to us. And Lord, help us to minister to each other so that we can all be strengthened, Lord, using the word that you have given us, this word that you have taught us, so that we can encourage each other with that word. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless all the families of our congregation. Lord, help them to continue to grow in the knowledge of you. Help them, Lord, to study this word, to read this word together so that all of them, Lord, may continue to learn and learn about your promises, Lord, and to know what it is that you have promised to do for us. Lord, all these things we bring before you tonight, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Now receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Thank you, folks, for coming tonight and worshiping with us. It's been a wonderful time. The sermon series will continue on Sunday as we cover the, what are we up to now? The fourth commandment, right? Yeah, now we're dealing with authority. All right, so God's blessings on your evening.